You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
This is Phoebe Bridges with the track Punisher. It's the title track from her brand new album, which is out this morning. It's an 11-track album and it is really, really gorgeous. And I had a chat with Phoebe about it about a month ago now. And I'm really looking forward to playing that for you right now. You might know Phoebe from her work on her own. Obviously, she's had Stranger in the Alps was her other album that people will be familiar with. But she's also been part of Better Oblivion Community Centre and Boy Genius alongside Lucy Dacus. And she's just a really, really awesome musician and pretty outspoken online too, which I really respect about her. So let's have a listen. I started by asking her about the record, how the title came about and what it's all about. Punisher is such an awesome title for the album. What can you tell us about the name?
Well, do you know what a Punisher is as a person? I always think about it as like someone who just doesn't really know when to stop talking and doesn't know that the person they're talking to wants them to please stop talking. So it can be like a nice person or like a mean person. It doesn't really matter. Just someone with kind of like no social skills. And I guess I call the album that because the title track is basically about like being afraid that I am that to people, especially people. If you're like a hero of mine, it's so easy for me to be like, oh my God, you got me through the worst part of my life, and like torturing themselves with, or like them with my personal details about my life. So that's why it's called that.
It must be kind of an interesting two-way street for you too, because I'm sure you probably receive a little bit of that well-intentioned love from people as well. It must be quite overwhelming.
It's definitely overwhelming, especially when it's just someone, you know, because I resonate with that, and when you feel like your reaction is really important to them. So, like, say someone's standing outside your bus and you, like, have to go to sleep and it's 2 o'clock in the morning and they're, like, having a really meaningful conversation with you and you feel, like, so guilty.
Yeah.
But I've definitely been on I've been on both sides of that.
I think it's such a universally human thing to experience as well, especially with music, because people have such personal relationships that go probably beyond even what, like, as a songwriter, you have your own relationship, I'm sure, with a track, and then all your listeners will have very different relationships with that. Do you find that kind of interesting or maybe a bit confronting when you do get faced with people's experiences of your music?
Yeah, totally. It's so weird. It's like, I mean, the coolest experience with my fans, I think, is when people find something in it that I haven't even really discovered yet. There's a Genius Lyrics page for a song from my first record, Smoke Signals, where they're like totally taking apart the meanings of each metaphor, and it's a bunch of stuff that I definitely didn't even think about once. It's like apparently pelicans symbolize death in a bunch of different cultures, and they're like, clearly she's making that reference, and I was like, what? No. But I love thinking that I'm like smarter than myself and with like secretly tapping into some like subconscious thing, but I love that. I love when people take stuff from my music that then I pretend like I knew the whole time.
Oh yeah, that was all part of my plan, yeah.
Exactly.
Hey, you've said that some parts of Punisher are kind of a sequel to Stranger in the Alps. What do you mean by that?
Well, like the first song, Garden Song, kind of reminds me of, it reminds me of Smoke Signals, which is the first song on the first album. Also, the first song, which is an instrumental, samples the last song on Stranger in the Alps. And then, yeah, I don't know. It just feels like a graduation to me. Like, we used a lot of the same sounds, but even I can hear that my voice is slightly different, but by no means did we, like, genre shift.
Mm-hmm.
And then songs like Kyoto kind of sound like motion sickness to me. Like, I just think I took what I liked from the music I was making before and kind of made something plus some, instead of, like, a total just, like, scrap everything and make something new. And when I find you, you touch my leg and I insist, but I wake up before we do it. I don't know how, but I'm taller. It must be something in the water. Everything's growing in our garden. You don't have to know that it's haunted.
Let's talk about Garden Song a little bit. I'm really intrigued that you made this track, you made the video rather, for this track with your brother. What was the process for that like?
Well, I was basically, because he's a huge stoner, and so I was basically like, and I hate smoking weed because it really freaks me out. Like, you know, I am an indie rock musician and I never really drink or smoke because it just freaks me out too much.
Mm.
I'm totally a square. So I told him, I was like, you smoke me out and try to scare me. And like, don't, and like, make a bunch of stuff happen and I won't know what it is. And so I showed up and that's what happened.
That's like a brother's, like a prank from a brother's dream, you know? Like, you just get to absolutely
totally
freak your sister out. So what kind
totally
of, like, time period are we talking about here? How long were the cameras rolling for?
I mean, only really like 10 minutes. I turned to my manager. We did it twice. And most of what is in the video is from the first one, but the cuts are all from, you know,
yep.
We only did it two times because I wanted to actually be scared and stoned. But I smoked bong. And then I turned to my manager after the first take and I said, this feels like a memory. and he's still making fun of me about it because that's the most, like, stoned thing I've ever heard. It was a terrifying experience.
Great stoner logic there. I'm also kind of interested because you've got a very interesting backing vocalist on this track. Who is this and what can you tell us about how that came about?
He is my tour manager. His name is Jeroen. He used to be in a hardcore band called Das Oath. He's 6'7". And he has a voice that's super, super low, and I've always been super fascinated by it. I've made him do so much, like, voiceover stuff for me. I've, like, made him record my voicemail before because he has a very, very strong accent. And he's, like, the sweetest dude on the planet. Like, when we recorded it, he was, like, warming up a bunch. Like, he'd clearly been, like, practicing. It was amazing.
Awesome.
Which is more than I can say for, like, any of the actual musicians and singers who sing on my album. Like, nobody does a warm-up. And he was, like, you know, really taking it seriously.
I love that. Also, you have got some amazing people featuring on this record, and you're no stranger to collaboration, Phoebe. How do you approach working on your sort of, like, collaborative projects like Boy Genius or Better Oblivion Community Centre versus your own writing? What's the difference for you?
I actually think my own stuff is more collaborative technically because, well, also it's a dream because at the end of the day, I get to make the final call. Like in a band, you really have to collaborate and make compromise. And I don't actually have to do that at all in my music, but I can ask my friends for help and I can, you know, bounce song ideas off of whoever I want. But at the end of the day, it just has my name on it. So I get to decide if I don't like their ideas, which is not the way it is in a band. Tons of collaborating. I love doing both things. I love having bands and I love having my own project. There's something so special, you know, working with people you love.
Having your friends around you makes a project really change, doesn't it?
Totally.
I'm really interested in what you said about working with Boy Genius helped you stop second-guessing yourself in the songwriting process. Can you explain that a little bit?
Yeah, I think there's just this really tempting thing as a defense mechanism when I or, you know, tons of people I know show someone ideas. Like, if you are proud of something, like, you're not really supposed to be proud of stuff. You're not the most fun personality if you automatically walk into a room and you're like, I have the best idea. My ideas are great. So I think the defense mechanism to not seem overconfident or not get any criticism is to be like, I know this is really bad, but I'll show it to you anyway. And then you want people to be like, no, it's amazing. And I think that there's just like a way better middle ground of just being like, I think this is good. Is this good?
Yeah.
And then playing that. And then if someone's like, it's not good, I'm like, I actually disagree. I think it's kind of cool. I don't know why. Let's figure out why we disagree. And so that was just kind of like the backbone of Boy Genius. And, you know, to be honest, I think it goes without saying in a lot of environments where it's like mostly men that you get to be like that. So that was what was fun to me. And it also made it so much easier to then collaborate with men.
Yeah.
You know, like, is to be like, you know, not constantly apologizing for yourself is so fun.
Stuck your tongue down the throat of somebody who loves you more.
I'm really curious about who you do go to when you're feeling like you need maybe that community support or something. Who are your people that you kind of lean on, Phoebe, when you're working on projects or you need to sort of boost yourself up maybe?
Well, definitely Julian and Lucy are really good at boosting me up. And then I write like stuff with my drummer, Marshall. And then my friend Christian Lee Hudson, who was like the guitarist in Better Oblivion and just like a dream collaborator who I love. And then Connor Oberst, if I want someone to like tell me what's bad and, and help me fix everything in like the best way ever. Like, it's so nice to be around people who are like, I know that you can do better than this, you know? Like,
yeah.
And he was like endlessly helpful on this record. I think just having kind of a arsenal of friends who you like trust entirely musically is so great.
Also, I guess when you're singing about stuff or you're writing about stuff that's intensely personal, and also you're kind of working through some big difficult experiences as well. I was so struck by Kyoto. It's such a gorgeous song. Like the horns in it are so joyful, but then the lyrics are really dark. How do you find like, I guess, presenting that stuff for the first time, which maybe could be quite a vulnerable feeling? How do you find that taking it to the people around you?
Well, I again am so lucky with my two producers, Tony and Ethan. They're like, they've been working with me for what, like 5 years now, which is wild. So I don't even really think twice about it. Sometimes I'll get kind of self-conscious. Like, I know that I'm saying something so dark that they literally have to react to it or ask me if I'm okay, which has definitely happened. But then it's just like all fun from there. I think we just all like the same type of music. I'm not like shocking them with anything. But yeah, Kyoto initially was a ballad. And they were like, oh my God, this would make the best, like, basically indie rock song ever. We should do it. And I was like, no. And then, that's Walcott from Bright Eyes on Horns, which we thought was a good idea.
Totally.
I'm lucky to be surrounded by people I trust, so I'm not even really nervous when I'm singing like the most intimate details about my personal life anymore.
Well, it's such a great record. I just wanted to ask you before we let you go, Phoebe, we're in such a weird time all across the world at the moment with this whole coronavirus situation, and the music industry's obviously been hit really hard and fast by it. What would you like to see post this immediate kind of quarantine lockdown period that we're in right now? What would you like to see change or happen for the music industry, for musicians?
I would just love the middle class to grow. I would love, because the saddest part about this is like, I feel like the poorest people are being affected, and that goes for businesses as well. Like, you know, the punk clubs that can barely pay rent anyway are what's going under first, and I hope, like, you know, most revolutions, this sparks some sort of thing where it's like there's a new way for middle class musicians to exist, and it's not just like the richest of the rich you can afford to not be working all the time. I hope vinyl finds a way through it, and like record stores. I don't know, maybe that's delusional, but I just hope that like the most creative people are putting their minds to like how can we survive so that it's not just like enormous companies. I would love to see that. And also, like, on the plus side, I think that people are probably like dying to get out and like see some music and like be around their friends, and yeah, and so I hope that does happen, and it feels good to like finally have that.
That was Phoebe Bridges speaking to me about a month ago about her brand new album Punisher, which is out this morning via Dead Oceans, and we're going to listen to Kyoto, which is the lead single and a really fantastic track from that. So thank you very much to Phoebe Bridges for that conversation.
Hey, this is Phoebe Bridges, and you're listening to 95B FM.
That is Phoebe Bridges with Kyoto, which is from her brilliant new album Punisher, which is out today via Dead Oceans. It's the follow-up to Stranger in the Alps, which was her debut from a few years ago. She's also one third of Boy Genius alongside Julian Baker and Lucy Dacus, and one half of Better Oblivion Community Centre with Connor Obrist from Bright Eyes as well. So thank you very much to Phoebe for having a chat with me. I really enjoyed that conversation. Go listen to that record. It's a really, really nice one.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.